Yeah, you've probably heard it before, Ralph. It's called carrier squelch, which means no PL tone.
Well, I thought so. I saw the SQ and I figured it's squelch SQ, but I couldn't get the carrier. And interesting that Bob mentioned the postal police or inspectors on Avco 25, because I saw a couple of postal police. They used to wear gray uniforms, and now they're like in navy blue, like police uniform, that type of color. But I was looking at the radios, and they still have the old raggy radios. So I was wondering, management that's doing it, Avco, at the field patrol, back to you.
Well, it's an interesting question, and if it's encrypted, then it's going to be hard to know exactly saying what. But if we knew somebody in the post office, they could certainly tell us firsthand.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting that he mentions that, because I'm still thinking of 96 models, and I was debating it because, that is really out there now that postal service. I guess everybody's moving over a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Every federal agency and military agency are switching over to a narrowband mode. Plus, at the same time, they're getting Avco 25 equipment rolled out. And all this is mandated to be in place and ready by January 1st. In fact, many of the agencies, if they're not doing it now, they will have it in place by the summer of 07. So all the bugs can be shaken out of it, and they'll be okay. It's just a sign of the times, Ralph. And you're going to see more and more you're trying to listen to a particular agency, and they sound softer. We'll give you a clue right then and there that they've gone to a narrow band. So if radio can do it, you put it to narrow FM mode, and it'll sound louder again. Fidelity won't be all there, because it's only going to be 2.5 kilohertz deviation. Gee, how much voice clarity and fidelity can you get out of 2.5 kilohertz, even with the compression and expansion of the audio chain? But it's sort of like listening to an FRS radio on a GMRS radio. It's going to sound softer. You listen on an FRS radio, it sounds louder, and that's the mic.
That's interesting. No, I've been scanning around. I've been hearing the weirdest stuff. I know that I'm not, that it's nothing new or active. If something has happened, they don't sound as I guess if you said by January 1st, I guess everybody who's gonna probably get a nice little boy of a Avco 25 capable scanner is gonna have a nice little feedback to you. And that's all for me. And standing by. Back to Net Control.
Well, the January 1st, Ralph, is January 108, so we still have a little bit more than a year before that's a mandated changeover. But they are switching over now. Even January 08 doesn't mean that they will be Avco 25. They will have equipment that is capable of doing it. They still be analog, but they must be in narrow FM mode, and they must be capable by January 108. They have a little bit of time. So if you can't convince your friends and family members to make a really nice present of a narrow FM Avco 25 capable scanner for you this year, at least you got another shot next year.
Yeah, that's it. I was already putting in my bid, Also, Charlie, the Fireground tech channel for SDNY, that's channel 9. Set aside for digital. Is that active in digital?
I have not heard any reports of it actually being used. I know it's in there. It's programmed in the radio. And the best person to probably find that out from is Frank Rappa. But I haven't heard him check into this net in about a year or so.
Okay, Charlie. Very good. We'll be listening in, and I'll back to you and catch you later. And we'll sit back and enjoy the net. KC2JXC, Ralph, Bronx, New York.
Another avenue that you might want to go down is visit the New York City message board. Go to the FDNY section and post a question there. I know that Frank Rappa visits that every so often and answers questions. So make use of the message boards. They're there for it. And They've been in operation, when did we set that up, Bob? Was it October 5th of last year? So a little bit more than a year. And we have 150 registered users on the system, 151. And a whole bunch of guests that don't sign in but are reading the messages anyway. Anyway, 921, this is N210B with the Shortwave Scanner Listeners Net. We have a couple of news items that might get people thinking about a few things. For one, in a news blog on November 15th, it's on a blog site for free radio, a little anarchistic, I guess, but it says here that three New York City area microcasters, another word for pirate FM broadcaster, get FCC visits. One based out of Newark on 90.1, one out of Brooklyn on 102.3, and another one out of Brooklyn on 103.1. Knocking their doors earlier this year, and violations are going to pop up from time to time. Let's see. From across the pond, Mark, in your homeland, Ofcom has published an international communications market report basically citing the decline of viewers and listeners broadcast. They're talking about shutting down AM and FM. That's right, AM and FM broadcast and turning it over to digital video services. A bigger survey that talks about also. Among the 18 to 24-year-old broadband users, the UK is second only to China in its enthusiasm for online video. 77% of UK broadband users watch music videos, and 87% in China.
KC2ENI. Well, the shutting down of AM and FM is no news, frankly. I've told you all again and again about DAB, Digital Audio Broadcasting, up on 220 megs, and about how last Christmas almost every radio sold at all of the major electronic retail outlets were DAB radios, either little Walkman-sized radios or tabletop ones or ones that go in your hi-fi and whatever. And in October, Dixon's, which is it's owned by Best Buy, announced that they would no longer be selling analog radios, selling their store for the Christmas rush. So the writing's been on the wall for that for ages, and my expectation is that just as happened with 4 or 5 line black and white TV down on 6 meters in the early 80s, all of the listeners will have migrated from analog to digital long before they actually get around to turning it all off. I can tell you a funny story about the migration, to give you an example of what happened next time around, I guess. G7LTT.
Well, why don't you go ahead with that, Mark, because I've got another news blurb right after that, which is sort of connected.
All right, so a while ago, I got the opportunity to go around the Crystal Palace television and radio transmitter site, and CP is one of the largest broadcast sites in the UK, second only to Elmley Moor up in Yorkshire. And so I'm wandering around and we're doing stuff, and they take me into the television room where they have all of the stonking great TV transmitters, and I kid you not, a 5 megawatt TV transmitter valve is bigger than I am. And some of you met me, I'm 6'4 and almost 300 pounds, so it's bigger than me. And it sits in a bath of water. All right, so the engineer's telling us all about how it all works and about the plumbing for the RF, the waveguide stuff, and all this kind of stuff. And then he opens his cabinet door and shows us 405 line TV. Now, in the UK, we ditched 405 line, black and white, in favor of 625 line color using the PAL standard. And we did that in the early 70s. And there was as is usually the case with these things, there was a phase-in, phase-out period. Okay, so the phase-out period was due to end in 1987. Okay, so the story goes that one night a bunch of engineers are on duty, and they're doing the checks and stuff, and they suddenly discover that the 405 line transmitter is off the air. This is kind of 1982-ish. And, you know, off they go to try and work out what the problem is and how to get it back on the air. And then they realize that the phones are not ringing. Nobody's phoning them to bitch about how they can't watch the TV anymore. So they let it go for 6 months. They get one phone call from a little old lady who, having tried all she could do to get her TV to work, ended up ringing the transmitter house to find out if there was anything they could do. And, of course, it turns out that she was the one and only viewer of 405-line TV in the entire palace coverage area. So the fellas all clubbed together and bought her a new colour telly, and they just didn't bother turning it back on again. KC2E and I.
So goes the passing of the old. Oh, well. Well, we're not going to see people buying you a TV set here when you switch to digital. And a somewhat related note on this, I don't know if you heard this, Mark, but former DJ Alan Fluff Freeman passed away this week.
I'm out of town. Really? No, I didn't hear that. How funny, because literally just 3 days ago, I uploaded to my cell phone the tune that he uses on his show. Yeah. Wow, okay. He's dead. Jeez. That guy has been on the radio longer than I've been alive. And he had a... he was a pirate radio DJ way back when, in the UK at least, pirate radio was done off of ships on AM. And, yeah, he then migrated to the BBC in the late 60s and eventually migrated across to Virgin Radio and then back to the BBC. And he's an odd guy. He had this show called Pick of the Pops, and it was basically a top 10 rundown type deal. But he also did heavy metal. Now, you got to get this guy, right? He was doing this up until well into his 70s, and he was a big heavy metal fan, so he had this show. And, it would be interspersed with heavy metal and classical music that could be vaguely termed as heavy metal, you know, these big rousing, pomp and circumstance orchestral pieces. That was what he was famous for, you know, along with his catchphrase, "not off."
Yeah, according to the BBC press release that I've got in front of me, that his final broadcast focused on his beloved world of opera, presenting their greatest bits for BBC Radio 2 from 97 to 01.
Well, okay. Well, you know, there was definitely a part, you know, this... You have the same thing here, you know, you have these historical figures in broadcasting and you don't think about them at the time, but you suddenly realize that what they did was groundbreaking. And, you know, let's say he was in on the whole pirate radio thing in the 60s. You know, back when commercial, in fact, there were no commercial radio stations. The BBC ruled the roost because the government said so. You know, that all changed in 1974, but until that time it took... the pirate radio movement to do all that, you know, things like Radio Caroline and Radio Essex and such. You know, they had stations on old World War II gunnery platforms out in the North Sea and things like that. So that in turn is a whole story we could do another day. But all right, actually, while you're on UK stuff, I do have one. KC2 and I.
Okay, go ahead. Antoine will be, and then we'll pick up Edition Check It. Go ahead, Mark.
So, Ofcom have licensed 2.4 gigs HTs.
Is this so you can cook your hot dog on your antenna as you're walking about town yakking it up?
That's what I wondered. I mean, you know, 2.4 gigs HTs. I didn't read much of the technical stuff about it, but, you know, I'm trying to work out just how much RF one could safely operate at 2.4 gigs. I'm guessing it's got to be much less than a watt. And so subsequently, what's the penetration going to be like? I mean, you know, those of you that have got Wi-Fi at home, you know, okay, you've probably only got 50 milliwatts or something, but, you know, you go two rooms away and the damn thing dies. So how good are 2.4 gig HTs going to be? And yep, you've guessed it, they dumped them in the amateur band.
Well, I guess you learn to stop transmitting when your eye starts twitching. Now, on that note, Zentwin will be with the shortwave and scanner listeners. That will stand by for any additional check-in. Again, if you're not able to get in on the air, you can still email. The email address is nyzxa@yahoo.com.
This is WBQ-KTV with a comment. I've got a D-Star radio that I'm afraid to touch for just that reason.
And we'll see if your planned station will cook the pigeons as they fly by. Okay, let's see. Next up with Traffic Night is Pete, B2SGT.
Antoine of WB2SGT. I'm running full duplex to make sure the old Drake UV3 is running. Two subjects. Pirate on FM and DTV. Which one do I want to start with first?
It's up to you.
Well, let me turn this thing off. Hold on. All right, the first subject is pirate radio. I've been on the FCC's website, and 87.9 meg is an active frequency now for broadcasting. You mentioned three stations that just got busted. 87.70 is a reflection of WNYXTV in Russian, and there's no listing. This is something to go through. WNYXTV is a low-power TV station that occasionally operates on Channel 6 in New York City. Okay, now that we got that through, I'm on the internet right now, and first of all, the countdown to DTV transition is 810 days, 2 hours, 26 minutes, 1 second. Okay, two sites to look into. First of all, anyone interested in DTV, I seriously recommend obtain a copy of PC Magazine for December 6th, sorry, I have trouble reading this stuff, 2006, The Complete Home Guide to HDTV. There are a number of interesting articles on there, including adding an HDTV tuner card to your computer for $99. I'm going to look into that one. You can take an old computer, put a 300 gig hard drive in there, and you'll be surprised. Should I go ahead, sir?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, now, recommendations of the magazine. Site is called, I wish I was younger, I have trouble reading, I can't read my glasses. AntennaWeb.org. AntennaWeb, AntennaWeb.org. Go onto that site, and you can put your name, address, location, zip code in there. They will give you out a printout of television stations available in your area. A quick shot here, we got 9, 25, 5, 11, 68, 41, 13, 2, 4, 7 for a conventional analog. It is listed here. WCBS, WXTV, WPIX, WNYW, WWOR as DTV on UHF television. Another site to look into is from the FCC. The site is called www-dtv.gov. www.dtv.gov. I got this little certificate here. It says Federal Communication Commission certifies completion of Deputy TV program. Share the knowledge. There's a lot going on with this, and there's, you know, we're lacking information. One more item is the eBay auction. I've been bidding on Samsung SRT 41 something or other set top box receivers. If you look at the website very carefully on the side of the auction, it is the junk outlet from Circuit City. They're beating these things up to a phenomenally excessive price. It lacks accessories, lacks the remote control, the instructions, and all that great stuff. The PC magazine, Connor, I can't get through this fast enough here. The PC magazine issue, the project to build an HDTV computer offers a HDTV decoder for your computer, and they'll throw in a free antenna. Let me drop this and get your comments. WB2SGT.
Hey, thanks for the traffic feed, and the March 2009 continues. Of course, as Mark points out from time to time, it's not necessarily high-definition TV, it's just digital. Sometimes not even that good. There are plenty of stations that are currently on the air with digital screens going on. Find the list on my website. About halfway down the page, you'll see digital TV stations in New York City. It also shows what channels they're on analog and what's the new little UHF channel going to be. Streams we've identified so far. If you know of any or if there are any changes, please let me know and we'll update the list. Make whatever information you hear or see available on the message boards as well. There are people checking in there from time to time. Okay, I don't know if we covered this last week, but it turns out that Clear Channel has agreed to be acquired by two investment firms for nearly $19 billion. There are news stories at the Boston Herald and Reuters, and I'm sure a few else. These reports also indicate that in a separate action, the company will be selling 448 market radio stations and 42 stations. I wonder what's going to take their place, because you know how big a monster Clear Channel has become over the years.
WB2SGT.
Good,
I'm tired of taking put my glasses on and taking it off. Okay, real quick. Selecting a tuner. Always verify the system requirements of the tuner you purchase to ensure you meet the minimum specifications. Recording high-def content will require between 6 and 10 gigabits of storage per hour of programming, so a major consideration will be hard drive capacity. And to take advantage of that digitally transmitted 5.1 surround sound, you may need to also invest in an audio card. Now, it says cost. Divico Fusion HD TV5 RT Lite PCR card. $99.99 direct from snapstream.com. snapstream.com. And I believe the Philips sensor. Silver Center UHF TV antenna is free with Virgis.
Now we're going to see all bunch of crazy deals as time goes by. I figure if sales don't go the way they want, you're going to start seeing them giving away things. More than just a free antenna. We popcorn makers. Okay. Thanks a lot, Pete. Let's see. Next up on the list, A2OKZ. Go to my Ken, Antoine Obey.
Good. Everything's going good. Holidays are over. Relatives went back home. I picked up another granddaughter along the way. What I wanted to a few weeks ago, I guess it was maybe a month ago, I asked a question about a propagation and talked about the sunspot reversing the polarity, and I was asking for some comments because I didn't understand it. So I'm essentially here to answer my own question. What I really found out was that the sunspots come in pairs. So one is in the north and one is south. And they could be either in the upper part of the sun, let's say upper hemisphere, or the lower hemisphere. And when you look at these sunspots, they come in pairs. One is sort of whitish, the other one is black. And that makes one north, one south. What's supposed to happen is when the new solar cycle begins, things reverse, like a bar magnet, where north used to be on the left and south on the right, they switch places. And there was such a reversal on July 31st, but it wasn't long enough. First of all, it never really got a number. And the other thing was that it was really in the wrong spot. And I found diagrams on the internet that are called butterfly diagrams, which show that when the cycle starts, sunspots come out at about either plus or minus 30 degrees latitude. And this one happened to come out at 13 instead of 30. And these, I guess it's, you know, they've been watching it for a while. So they sort of hesitate now. They're saying, yes, we're going to have a real good propagation cycle, maybe 30 to 50% higher than the last one, which was pretty good. And so I'm sort of looking forward to that. And they also have some commercial type government gear where they can actually monitor magnetic polarity and the magnetic strength by looking at the polarity of light coming from these sunspots. Evidently, when a light is viewed through gas, it takes on a polarity. Very interesting. But one other thing, before I close here, you know, we're always talking about global warming, and I found some very early records that show that during the 17th century, someplace around 1645 to 1715, quite a spread, there were very few sunspot cycles during that whole period. And it was called the Little Ice Age. And it says that rivers that normally wouldn't freeze froze over during that time, and snow stayed on the ground all year long. So, you know, you wonder about the connection, and I guess they're, like everything else, they're going to study it. And it's just a shame, because it takes such a long time to really go through a whole cycle. So there may be some connection between sunspots and the weather. That's not what people think. But anyway, I hope that answers some of the questions about reversals of sunspots. I think the best article that I've seen recently was in that magazine that Bob mentioned, World Radio. One other comment. We're talking about 2.4 gigahertz HT. The router that I use, the Linksys router, WRT54, that uses Linux, and hams have programs out there to flash these things, and they are using them as transceivers. And they work quite nicely. They get a few miles out of them. I mean, they just don't use the little whip that's on the back. They hook it up to a dish. Share the band at 2.4 gigahertz, why not? And 2NOV, WA2OKZ.
Ian, I figured you would, Mark. Go ahead.
Hey, see ya. WRT series of Linux routers, or rather, Linksys routers. Yeah, the firmware hacking on them is not a new thing, and it's there are an awful lot of guys out there that have done it. And you're right, in the ham radio world, at least, some of them are being used to achieve long distances. But unfortunately, it's not ham radio software that's being written for them. It's just generic, open them up, make them do what they can do software, which in turn has led to band intrusion. But, you know, in the usual way, of course, there are what are they over here in the States, 11 channels, 12 channels, something like that, that are allowed. Well, as soon as you swap the firmware out, suddenly this thing is cracked open. My one here has now got 22 channels on it. Most of them are in the handband. You know, needless to say, you'll get some guy who claims he can be there because, of course, hell, his radio can do it, and therefore, why shouldn't he be? Yeah, I mean, the trick is in the antennas, you know, as I say. It's to get yourself something that's long haul. And it's primarily used for data. Nobody's actually been able to shove any analog through it. It's all digital, which in turn brings its whole bunch of problems because you get things like propagation delay, which in turn causes packets to get resent because it's assumed that they didn't arrive, even though they actually did, just not in a timely enough fashion. And, I could get really boring about that. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of others of them, and you know, maybe we should do something, you know, for another night. We could consume a whole hour with 2.4 gig stuff.
Gobble, give me 2 FCT.
Good, Pete.
2.4 gig band interests me very much, because guess who is an intruder? Metropolitan Transportation Authority. The L train, the Canarsie run, using computer-based train control, is on the band.
Well, hopefully they're doing it at low enough power where it's still part 15. Anything more than that, start worrying about who's primary and secondary on the band.
The original system proposed a magnetic inductive pickup every 100 feet. My concern is security. If you have a laptop and you could figure out how to break the code, you get into the train you're on.
Yeah. Sure, the officials are thinking about that one. Like, people will have an ICOM R3 up the gig video channel that NYPD uses.
Anywho,
yeah, maybe one night we should go into some esoteric stuff, Mark. Totally out of the woodwork. Or we've got other... How about a...
Someone's jamming you. This is Whiskey 2 Golf Uniform.
W2GU, good, well.
It seems to me that I heard somebody trying to jam you because something sounded like you were doubled. And I had to go to the Stutter District Net a moment ago, but I'm back now. But when I just got back, I thought I heard somebody jamming you.
That might be. I know there's some Intimart was coming into the repeater earlier. Maybe that was it as well. It's all right. Whatever it is, it comes and goes. You know, we've been used to that. Thanks for the observation, Will.
Always glad to help. W2GU stands by back to net.
Okay. Let's see. Bob, W2SQQ, anything, Bill?
Now it's down, Charlie. I keep trying to get in, and it lets me sign in, but it's not getting my webpage. Hang on there one sec. Let me just try something here. One sec. I just got in. Oh, strange things. It's weird. Let's see. Yeah, we got Ralph from Brooklyn sends an email in. He's usually good for a few questions here. I'm sorry it took a little bit to get to you, Ralph. Number one, it says, about no weather radio, what frequency is the alert tone sent on? Like, I put my scanner in alert mode, what frequency is it listening to, burst of data, and wanted some information? I think it's actually an audible tone right on the 162.55 frequency, if I'm not mistaken, and as well as the data. You might know the particulars on that, Charlie. And the second question he asked is, the Pro 95 and the newer scanners, some can't scan from 400 upward. They start at 406. I believe that's true. Some of them go down to 406. I think I saw some at 403. But that really depends on the particular scanner. Do you have anything on the NOAA? Any specs on that, Charlie?
Okay, well, first off, as far as the scanners in the UHF range,
Well, some of them even went down to 380. It just depends on what the manufacturer decided to put in there. There's no rhyme or reason, really. Mixing products that determine that. As far as the weather alert, it used to be an audible tone, as Bob said. 1500 hertz, 1.5 kilohertz audible tone would go off, and that was what would trigger your weather radio to start shrieking. Unfortunately, a warning come across for the coastal areas of Suffolk County, and if you live in New Jersey, you're getting woken up for that. So they came out with the specific area messaging coding, SAME, which is a digital data burst. And the digital data stream is coverage area. Each county has a different, unique number. And there are extra digits that they could use to even indicate a certain segment of a county to, as well as what is the specific alert. Is it a watch? Is it a warning? Is it tornadoes? Is it hurricanes? Is it civil disturbance? Is it hazmat? There's many different things they can do with it, and it's all in the digital domain. So you would leave the radio on 162.55 or wherever your nearest National Weather Service transmitter is. There's one in Monmouth. There's one up in the Passaic area. There's one out in Riverhead. So whichever frequency that one is, that's what you would listen to, put into alert mode, program in what you want to be alerted for, and then just sit back and wait for it to happen. Anything else on these demos?
We'll pass along and share with some people. It's not actually radio related, but I think it might be of interest. For those of you who have scanners that are programmable via your PC, if you're going to be doing this with a laptop, what you have probably discovered is that most of the newer laptops not have serial ports on them. And a lot of the older scanners, you needed a serial port. Well, obviously, there's the issue of getting a USB to serial adapter. But if any of you have ever played with it, you will quickly find out that the prices vary from very cheap to very expensive. And the price has absolutely nothing to do with reliability or compatibility. As a matter of fact, the Intel software is probably among the most finicky, and to the point where Butel, I think, actually sells a USB to serial adapter that they recommend that they're certified. I, with the help of K2SL, did one particular chipset that works very, very well for programming the radios. It works with the Uniden scanners. It even works quite well using the Motorola software for programming the Motorola commercial radios. And ironically, it's the cheapest USB adapter that you can find out there. Problem is, you can't find it in the stores. If you go to CompUSA's website, just do a search for a USB to serial adapter, one of the first ones that comes up, it's actually made by a company called Cables to Go. It's $15.99. So I said, all right, I'm going to order it. Ordered it on Monday. Tuesday morning, got an email, said your order is confirmed. It will be shipped. Expect delivery in 7 to 9 days. By the way, free shipping. Got home today. Guess what's in the mail? Showed up today. So ordered Monday, delivered Wednesday. Put it in, and it works fantastic. Works on the Motorola, works on my Uniden radios, works on everything. So any of you that would run into this problem, quick delivery, cheap price, and it does work. It's just something to keep in the back of your mind as a reference.
What chip is this? I missed you said that there is a chip, but I don't recall you saying what it. What was it? Is it the PL2313 or 2303?
The name of the chipset is, it begins with P. I can't think of what it's called now. But it's, I can run in the other room if you want. I think it's actually mentioned in the instructions. But the name of the chipset begins with the letter P. And the problem is that it really is very hard to find out what any of these adapters use. I bought the Radio Shack one as a point of reference for $34.99. I installed the software 3 times, uninstalled it, and I could not get it to work for no money, and I said, forget it, I brought it back. So for $15.99 and a dollar and a few pennies postage, no shipping, delivery on it was incredible. I mean, I just couldn't believe how fast it was, and that was with the free ground delivery. So it's worth it, and it's a real nice design. It's about maybe 8 or 10 inch cable, so it's not too big, easy to store, and it works very well.
KTV with a question. Go to meet you, KTV. Do you have the SKU number on that for the original Cup USA website? I can just plug that in.
Yeah, hang on a minute. I can look it up for you. Hang on a second.
Great, thanks.
It has it, I guess, that it's based on the PL2303 or 2313 chips, and that's actually getting quite popular these days, and it's very cheap. But I just bought one for my Mac here because it's legacy free. In fact, it's everything free. That's the only problem with it. The Mac picked it up and used it quite happily. It's the only one that is supported by all of the Linux and FreeBSD variants. And more than that, it's in the SBS1 what I do sell. It's the prime mover of the data that's nailed onto the motherboard of the SBS1 ADS-B mode S receiver. So, I'm guessing that's what it is, Bob. KC2ENI.
Okay, as I say, if you go to CompUSA's website, just type in USB TO serial, and it'll come up, and it's the third one down. Description is cables to go port authority USB serial to DB9 adapter. It's a 13-inch cable. The product number on it, on CompUSA's website, and you can only get it through the website, is 501-95798. Again, 501-95798. Manufacturer's part number is 26886. And the brand is Cables to Go. So maybe you can even buy it directly from them. But $15.99, and the thing is made really nice. Definite bargain, and, it's that much better when it works.
Indeed. Thanks very much.
Okay. Thanks
for that,
Bob. Any other email?
That's Charlie.
So I'm saying, is there any other email, Bob?
I'm sorry, no, that was it, Charlie.
Okay, except that for those who are packet radio capable, the BBS is back up on the air on 145.070, if you want to give it a shot. N20B-4 is the call for it, and there are some message areas in there that specifically deal with radio reception and solar propagation and things like that, things that would be of interest to you, as well as other topics. So if you want to make use of that, by all means, go right ahead. All right, at this point, we'll say 7-3 to everybody, and we'll catch you here next week. There's enough of a want for any type of technical net for some of these more esoteric items, which, hey, Nathan, the world is going in that direction, right during the week. Let's get the emails going back and forth. And Bob, if you can send out that email information via email, that information on the USB serial cable, especially thinking that some people may be getting radios for Christmas season, and they may need a cable to work with.
This is an FYI. This is quite interesting. I just went to the cables2go.com website, which is the manufacturer of this cable, okay? Same exact cable, same exact part number, same picture. It's like cut and pasted. $15.99 free postage from CompUSA, $24.99 plus postage from the manufacturer. Go figure.
Oh, that's called We Don't Want to Be in the Retail Business. I can sing you a song about that.
It appears that way, but that's interesting. Okay. Forward to seeing you here next week. WHRQQ.
Okay, see you next week, Bob. And everybody else, have a good one. And make use of the machine. Don't let it sit here quiet during the week. And one will be out.